I titled my message this week, Hide and Watch. Oh, what do you mean by that? Well, I remember somebody telling me something one time. We're talking about this and that and all that. They said, I'll just hide and watch. And I thought, oh, I wonder if that's what God does. He just hides and watches. Now, we can't see him, but I think we know that he's there, watching out after us, looking out after us. Or even he might just know that he can maybe find a diamond in the rough. I've been rough. Have you been rough? And then God got us and we repented and we cleaned up our life. And God said, oh, you're a diamond in the rough. Yeah. Anyhow, I digress. I'm thinking about this. Just because you don't see me, God said, I mean, I don't see you doesn't mean that. No, just because you don't see me, it doesn't mean that I don't see you. Now, I don't know where that came from, but it makes sense because God sees us and he knows us. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 13, it says, you are the God who sees me. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3 says, oh, Lord, you have searched me and seen me. And then we look over in John chapter 1, verse 48. Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree. I saw you. Yeah. And then in Genesis chapter 13, it says, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. And that's what Hagar said to God. So think about these. There's probably just a few times in Scripture in which human beings have felt seen by God. Now, God saw through the prophets the irresponsible shepherds, those in dire circumstances, those asking for forgiveness. And then through the person of Jesus Christ, God did likewise. Think about the prophecy of Simeon, foretold Jesus' ability to see through the hearts of everyone. And we know that he did and does. Even the demons knew that he could, and he still does. So feel seen is powerful, especially when someone recognizes you and what everyone else has failed to see in you. You know, that diamond in the rough? There's a research psychologist by the name of Adam Grant, and he explores how we often miss potential. In his book, Hidden Potential, The Science of Achieving Greater Things. And if you go through his book, he explains how we sometimes can miss people's greatest potential because we are limiting ourselves to what we have already accomplished instead of what we recognize that maybe they may be capable of accomplishing. I think about those in the College of Missions, what they know and what they know for sure, because they are supposed to be trained not merely to look for stable indicators, you know, like grade, test scores, but to look at character and drive and passion and other signs of potential growth. For all of these seem to yield people destined to do greater things in life. So success isn't merely about past successes, but about aspirations for who we want to become and the ability to stretch beyond our strength. Grant also explained in his book that true measure of your potential is not the peak you reach, but how far you climb to get there. I think often our greatest risk as leaders is not placing our bets on the person with unimproved potential, but playing it safe with the person who will keep things the same, you know. We stimulate growth when we recognize and we invite potential. I don't think anybody knew this any better than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, look at the group of disciples that he chose in the first place. It's an unlikely bunch. Wouldn't you agree? They were radically, some even say dangerous, and they were different ways and unimaginable. And Jesus looked at them and he said, these are untrained. I know what I'm going to do with them. The method of discipleship. Rough around the edges. Nobody ever thought old Ralphie had ever become a preacher, and I never did either. And rough around the edges. Several times that the disciples he called had tempers like the size of Mount Vesuvius. But what Jesus saw in them was not a group of perfectly accomplished or trained Jews. No, in fact, it would have made Jesus' job a lot harder if he would have done that. But Jesus saw something else in these potential disciples. It's potential. In the huge sense, Jesus' disciples were diamond in the rough. I told Joanne, our lay leader, one time when she said, I don't know if I'm ready to be the lay leader and everything. I said, oh, no, you are a diamond in the rough. And look how she has grown in these last 6 or 7 months through her ministry as lay leader. But I digress. Jesus was determined throughout the 3 years of his earthly ministry to use them into his image, God's image, if you would, in order to start a movement that would be unstoppable. Now, they weren't perfect specimens, by no means. No, they were beautifully imperfect people, but they had loyalty, they had discipline, they had determination, and a raw faith, a faith that God would require to make a difference in the world. So after Jesus' ascension, they would receive Christ's gifts of the Holy Spirit, energy and power, and they would go on truly with the help of God to stretch beyond their strength. The church grew because they grew. And we're still growing because of what Christ has done and what the apostles did early on. And we're growing. We're growing in grace. So when Jesus sat down with his disciples that one last time before he went back to heaven for one more post-resurrection experience before he would gather them for his ascension, he told them that he had to go so that they could carry on his mission. And he gave us that mission in the last chapter of Matthew. Initially, though, they were confused and they were upset. They felt unsure, unprepared, unqualified for what was to come, because without their rabbi and leader, they didn't think they could make it. They would falter. They felt no direction. They felt insecure without him. And they wanted him to be by their side to show them the way. Jesus answered confidently when he said, I am the way and the truth, and the life. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Wow, what a word of support, right? What confidence Jesus had to hand off his ministry and to give it to this, well, ragtag bunch, so to speak. But he said they would do greater things than even he did in the 3 years that he spent with them. Can you imagine what they must have felt like or what they might have been thinking? But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. But Jesus had told them everything they needed to know. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone, guys. How will you know your way forward? I am the way. If you know me, you will know the way to go. With me beside you, empowering you and assuring you, you will do greater things. In other words, Jesus said, I see you. I see you, Peter. I see you, Thomas. I see you, John. I see you, James. I see you, Ralphie. All the other, you can just put your name right there because he sees us. So, before Jesus would leave his disciples that day, he would make sure that they knew that they would not be alone to flounder or to fail, because God had already seen the potential they had to carry out the mission. 2,000 some odd years later, here we are carrying out the mission. They didn't fail, did they? No. Now, they may not have seen him in the flesh any longer, but he was always there. He always would see their potential. And God had placed within them the ability, the character, the future of God's mission would not be based in their need for perfection, but in God's gift of spirit and grace. Wow! Now, Jesus wasn't interested in relaying to his disciples how a recipe for the kingdom. No, he wasn't doing that. Recipe for kingdom construction. No, he was interested and invested in their potential, the faith to the infinite power, potential that he had seen and known in them to carry on a mission to see the unique and most beautiful potential in every human being, and to heal it, to coax it, to draw it out of God's people so that God's kingdom would emerge organically and humanly. So to be human for God is not a terrible thing, is it? No, it's not an awful thing. God created humanity with potential and purpose to create communities of cultivation and disciples who nurture the faith in Jesus, who dare to explore unique ways to follow the way, who love deeply and see without judgment, and who can spot the diamonds in the rough and to form them into the most beautiful people in the world that the world has ever seen, all in Jesus' name. The psychologist assured us in his book when he said, "You don't have to be a wonder kind to accomplish great things," because Jesus assures us, "If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 says, "With human beings, this is impossible. But," I love the buts and the if, "but with God, everything is possible." And he did not leave us by himself or alone, not the disciples and not us. Because when he said, "When I go home to be with the Father, I'm going to send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit." We'll find that a little bit later in John chapter 14 when Jesus talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit. But we know. We spent 17 weeks learning about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is a person, how the Holy Spirit lives in us and through us. We are image bearers of God. So I want to tell you this. Jesus is betting on your potential, your faith to the infinite power potential. Now, you may not see God around you with that super, super spirit power, but in every day of your life, God sees you. Pray that you have a wonderful day and know that you are maybe that diamond in the rough that you didn't think you were. If you confess with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you are part of the kingdom of God, and you are beautiful, and you love with the grace that God loved us. Go now in peace in Jesus' name.